Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5. Chapter entitled Narada's Teachings to Vasudev. This is verse number 19. Shri Rajo Vacha. Kasmin Kale Sa Bhagavan. Kimvarna kidrsho nrubhi namna vakena vidhina pujyate tadihochatam. Shri Rajo Vacha kasmin kale sa bhagavan kimvarna kidrsho nrubhi namna vakena vidhina pujyate tadihochatam. Shri Rajo Vacha kasmin kale sa bhagavan kimvarna kidrsho nrubhi namna vakena vidhina pujyate tadihochatam. Kimvarna kidrsho nrubhi namna vakena vidhina. What is this? Pujyate tadihochatam. Shri Rajo Vacha. Kimvarna kidrsho nrubhi namna vakena vidhina pujyate tadihochatam. Shri Rajo Vacha. The king said, kasmin, in what? Kale, టైమ్ సహ హీ భగవాన్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కిం వర్ణ హ్యావింగ్ వాట్ కలర్ కీదృశ హ్యావింగ్ వాట్ ఫార్మ్ నృభీ బై మెన్ నామ్నా బై వాట్ by what names va and kena by what vidhina processes pujyate is worshipped tat that iha in our presence uchyatam please speak Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Nimi inquired, In what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of the different ages? And with what names and by what types of regulative principles is the Lord worshipped in human society? Purport. It has been clearly established in the previous verses that human life is spoiled if one does not surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His loving devotional service. Therefore, the king is now requesting the sages to give specific details about the worship of the Lord because this devotional process has clearly been described as the only practical means of delivering the conditioned soul. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So we are continuing the discussion between King Nimi and the Navayogendras. The Navayogendras are the exalted sons of Rishabhdev, the nine Paramahamsa sons. And their names are Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, ప్రబుద్ధ పిప్పలాయన్ ఆవిర్హోత్ర ద్రుమిళ చమస అండ్ కరభాజన్ దీస్ నైన్ సేజెస్ ఆర్ హ్యావ్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ అట్ ది ప్యాలెస్ ఆఫ్ కింగ్ నిమి అండ్ వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ స్టడింగ్ దిస్ సెక్షన్ ఫర్ లాస్ట్ సెవెరల్ మంత్స్ సో దిస్ డిస్కషన్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ బిట్వీన్ కింగ్ నిమి అండ్ ద లాస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద నైన్ యోగేంద్రస్ హూజ్ నేమ్ ఇస్ సేజ్ కరభాజన్ ముని And here he is asking a question. What are the colors and forms of the Supreme Lord when He appears in various incarnations in this material world? And what are the different processes by which devotees worship Him? This is the question he is asking, and Karavajan Muni is going to describe various incarnations and how people in human society worshipped Him, the various Yuga Dharmas that are and the processes that are used to worship these incarnations of the Lord. So here in the purport we find it is saying that in the earlier verses, which was, this is verse number 19, in the earlier verse, in the initial third or fourth verse, it has been clearly established that human life is spoiled if one does not surrender unto the Lord and engage in His loving devotional service. Ya esham purusham sakshad atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajananti sthanad bhrashta patantida. This is the verse that was quoted. So in the, there it says, if one na bhajanti avajananti, one who does not worship the Supreme Lord, sthanad bhrashta patantida, such a person falls from his position, no matter how exalted he is by the dint of his austerities, tapasya, charity, study of Vedic literature. Even the most exalted person will fall from his position if he doesn't take to the devotional service of the Lord. So what exactly stabilizes a person in his position is worship of the Lord. If someone is worshipping the Lord, then the benefits of all other things, the benefits of charity, tapasya and study, everything else will automatically follow for a worshipper, instead of separately endeavoring for acquiring these benefits. So that is the verse that is quoted here. So it is interesting to see how this is not the first time someone is raising a question about incarnations. Several times in the Bhagavatam we find the enquirer is inquiring about incarnations, avatar. So first time it appeared in the first canto. This is a discussion between Shaunakadi Rishis and Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya. So there in the first chapter of the first canto, the chapter itself is entitled Questions by the Sages. And there, one of the questions they are asking is about incarnations. So Suta, Shaunaka Rishi is asking, O wise Suta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, Lord's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord are performed by His internal potencies. So why they are interested, why anyone is interested in knowing the incarnations and their activities? Because the activities are not carried out by in an ordinary fashion, like we carry out our activities. In the Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam. Divyam or divine. Krishna's janma, karma, activities, even disappearance is divine. Therefore, it makes interesting to study them, understand them, learn lessons from them. So therefore every sincere, serious student of spiritual life is eager to know what these incarnations are. Who are these people who keep coming to this planet, into this material world and performing certain activities and then going away? What are the features and how people worship them? How, what are the yuga dharmas they inaugurate in human society? How they maintain religious principles in this world, and how they protect their devotees. This information is exciting to hear and understand. So therefore, so another time that the same question about incarnations arises is in the 10th canto, where Parikshit is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. So there he says, Yena yena avatarena Bhagavan Haririshvara Karoti karna ramyani Mano Jnani Chana Prabhu. So there he says, All the various activities of the incarnation of the Lord are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Karoti karna ramyani, karna ramya. It is pleasing to the ears. And manogyani, chanaprabhu. It is even pleasing to the mind. And he gives a benefit of hearing such pastimes of the Lord. What happens when someone eagerly hears these kind of pastimes of various incarnations? He says, simply by one's hearing, the dirty things accumulated in one's heart vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about these activities, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they automatically are pleasing to the mind and ear. Therefore, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is a root cause of material bondage, vanishes, and one gradually develops devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord, attachment for Him, friendship with devotees who help us in Krishna consciousness. This is the effect of hearing about Krishna's multi-incarnations. Our devotional service will develop, our attachment for Krishna will increase, and our relationship with devotees will improve. That's an interesting feature of hearing Krishna's pastimes. We take shelter of so many consultancy services whenever relationships fail, whenever marriages fail, whenever people have quarrels among each other. And there are people who mediate in order to resolve such relationship problems. But here Parikshit Maharaj is giving a simple solution for all relationship problems. Hearing Krishna's pastimes and his incarnations. So, that is the benefit of coming together and discussing the activities and pastimes of Krishna. And in that purport, Prabhupada makes several interesting points. He says, one important point he makes is, there is a great difference between mundane stories, fiction and novels, and the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. What is the difference? The history of the whole universe contain references to pastimes of the Lord. The Ramayana, Mahabharata and Purana are histories of bygone ages that describe his activities. And when one hears this, the content always remains fresh even after repeated hearings. Unlike what happens when we hear mundane stories, activities, novels and histories. This we can actually practically realize. You take a movie, you take a novel, you take a newspaper and try reading it repeatedly. Let us say one newspaper we take, today's newspaper, Times of India you take. How many times can we repeat reading the same message? Same article or news piece. Once you read, and if after 1 hour someone tells us, this is what happened, we say it is too old. Right? Some message you get, if it is 1 month old, we say, oh, this is the Purani baat hai. And immediately it becomes trash. We either delete messages or we put newspaper into trash. If you watch a movie once or twice, at best thrice, then it becomes not just boring, it becomes unbearable. Watching the same thing, reading the same thing, right? And in contrast to this, if we hear about Krishna's pastimes, Ramayana, Mahabharata, in spite of repeated hearings and readings, the story is remaining fresh. And the fact that they are still being studied even after thousands of years of their occurrence. Ramayana happened tens of thousands of years ago. Mahabharata happened 5,000 years ago. Krishna's pastimes happened millions of years ago. All these pastimes that are recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam are several million years old. And still they are being studied. That itself is proof that these are not ordinary. So that is the test. If we are getting bored by hearing a certain thing, that shows it is material. It is non-divine. And if we are feeling bored by hearing Krishna's pastimes, that means we are material. We are not yet qualified to appreciate these pastimes. And the solution Parikshit Maharaj gives is, keep on repeatedly hearing. Bhavaushadat Chrotramanobhiramat. It is Bhavaushadhi. It is an aushadam for material disease. And the more we hear through the ears, we take in the message through the ears, then it acts as a vaccine for the disease of material conditional life. And once the disease is cured, we develop the taste and appreciation for hearing these pastimes. And the more we hear, then the more we want to hear. That's the cumulative effect of hearing Krishna's pastimes. So there's one important point that Prabhupada makes. In spite of repeated hearings, the content remains ever fresh. Unlike contents of the material world. Another point he makes is, this is an interesting statement. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic. Inasmuch as the spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Mundane news is static. What does static mean? And what does dynamic mean? Static means it has a limitation to offer us thrill and excitement. There is a limit to the excitement level it can take us to by hearing this news. And spirit is dynamic, which means it can give us a thrill that is much beyond compare. And that's also not a limitation. It is ever increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadam. So there is no limit to the excitement and joy we can relish by hearing these kind of activities. Krishna's pastimes. Because by nature we are seeking out happiness and excitement. Anything that that appears initially ecstatic and exciting, after a few days or a few weeks or a few months or years, it loses that thrill and excitement. And then we want to change. Change in the form of objects we enjoy, change in the form of gadgets we have, change in the form of places we visit. Many devotees have shared this experience. Keep visiting the same place, Vrindavan Mayapur, every year. Sometimes we feel, why the same place? Why not try some other place? Not some other dham. There are so many dhams. If our approach to these dhams or any place, spiritual place, is material, then after several months or years, we will start feeling bored. So then we have to recheck, introspect our own motives. Why we are visiting these places? What is the mood behind performing a certain kind of devotional activity? Because by definition, it should give us excitement. It should give us happiness and joy. And if that is not obtained, that means the way we are doing it is, there is a problem. So, mundane news is static, transcendental news is dynamic. One reporter once asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur wanted to publish a newspaper about spiritual activities. So the reporter asked, what will you publish in this? How will you generate so much content? Content generation is a big challenge. You have to creep looking out for contents, or you have to imagine, fabricate contents if you don't have bona fide content. Like if you have no scandals, then you catch hold of some innocent guy and then fabricate a scandal around him. That's what many times newspaper publish their news reports. And so this reporter was surprised. How could Saraswati Thakur imagine, think of publishing a newspaper, spiritual newspaper, and generate so much content? Saraswati Thakur said, in Calcutta alone, one small city on this planet, we have so many newspapers published every day. So many languages, so many published, so many newspapers. How do you manage such content, even in a small city? And there are so many other cities. Spiritual world is millions of times bigger than this hellish city like Calcutta. They have unlimited material to publish. Not just every day. We can publish a newspaper every moment. That much content. Problem is, you are not ready to take in so much information. So that's the nature of spiritual news. It is dynamic, not static, ever fresh. Prahlad Maharaj says, punas punas charvita charvananam. Material news, material activities are like repeatedly chewing the same thing that is already chewed and spit, and again chewed and again spit. That is what people having interest with material life do. Unable to appreciate and access something that is much more dynamic. So, that is the nature of material news. And nowadays, one devotee was showing me how people are trying to generate content on social media. Especially if you search for some crazy stuff on YouTube and Facebook, you will get several videos that has no meaning or no lesson to impart, but then they have millions of hits, millions of views. All because they did something crazy and got attention. So someone will be there standing on the high-rise building, on the edge of a high-rise building, and doing gymnastics, doing exercises, doing yoga. The best place he could find to do yoga is on top of a high-rise building. And that is video shot. How 50 floors down the line, there's traffic moving. And this guy is coolly doing yoga. And that has several hits. So were several pranks video, people doing mischief on others. These are the ones that get hit. So unless you do something really out of the world, out of the box, you can't get people's attention. So crazy videos are popular. And people try to get excitement out of these kind of activities, because they don't have access to something real, real spiritual, devotional. Until they access that, we try to find happiness and joy through these kind of activities. So therefore, real happiness in spiritual life, stable happiness in spiritual life will come when we start relishing things that are permanent and eternal. The more we access, the more we find joy in temporary things of this world, the more our happiness will be unstable. And these things keep changing all the time. What is the trend right today will no longer be the trend a few days later. So therefore here, Prabhupada is making this point of static and dynamic news. Another thing he makes in the same section is, he says, those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. So in the beginning, we need practice. Especially when we come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, initially there is excitement. But after that, we need to work hard. The excitement loses, the happiness fades away, and we again may start searching out for something new. So practice in the association of devotees, regular hearing, regular sadhana, is what gives taste in these subject matters. So we should never lose hope. Whenever we feel bored, whenever we feel lack of taste in these kind of devotional activities. So, in the first canto, coming back to the point of avatars, Suta Goswami says, in the third chapter, he describes a list of avatars. when Parikshit, Shaunakadi Rishi raised this question, he starts describing a list of several avatars that happened in the past several yugas, especially in this day of Brahma. And he gives a list of 22 or 24 incarnations. And he says at the end, he says, avatarahi asankheya. Hare sattva nidheya dvija, yatha vidasina kulya sarasasyu sahasrashaha. Asankheya. Asankheya means unlimited, countless. Countless incarnations have happened. The number of incarnations are countless. And he gives a comparison. Just like there is one main stream of water, river, and so many thousands of streams come out of the same flow of river. That's how several incarnations keep coming out from one original source. Sarasasyu sahasrashah. Thousands of rivulets or streams of water come out of the main source. So that is an avatar. And their main function is maintaining law and order in this universe. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one entire section, a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, where Sanatana Goswami is asking this question about avatars again. And Lord Chaitanya goes into great detail to describe what are the various avatars. Not the names of the personalities, but the types of avatars that are existing. And there he says, he gives a list of the Vishnumurtis, based on the position of the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma in the hands of Lord Vishnu, based on their positions, each Vishnu form is named. What are the names? Like the names we recite while applying Tilak. Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Rishikesh, all these names. These are the names based on the position of Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma in the hands of Lord Vishnu. In the hands of Lord Narayan. And even the names of the months. We have the Damodar month is going on right now. And Damodar again. The 12 months of the year are again named by the same names. Keshava, Madhava, Vishnu, Janardhan. And when we do Achaman also in deity worship, we have several names we recite. Vasudeva, Anama, Sankarsana, Niruddha, Pradyumna. All these names are various names of Vishnumurtis that are eternally existing in some spiritual world, some spiritual planet in the spiritual world. They are not imaginations, as argued by modern speculators. Every Vishnumurti is eternally existing in one of the spiritual worlds, and they occasionally, there are many such temples of these Vishnumurtis exist in India and several parts of the world, where these Murtis are worshipped, were worshipped. Today we may not find all the names and forms, but at some point of time they were worshipped, and they may again start their worship. People may again start their worship in the future. These things keep happening up and down. But these are all bona fide forms, and they have genuine descriptions given in the Vedic literature, and they are not just imaginations. So whenever incarnations come, Prabhupada used to argue, incarnation is not a man-made imagination. Every incarnation, whenever it comes, there are descriptions given in Vedic literature about their symptoms, about their activities, about their parents, who will be their mother and father, the place of appearance. All these details should be available to accept someone as a bona fide incarnation, avatar. And if these details are missing, then he is a bogus person. So that's how we correlate and check, confirm whether a person who claims to be an incarnation is an incarnation or not. I visited one place somewhere in South India. There, behind the ISKCON temple, there are several other temples, and each of them claims to be an incarnation. One of them was a Kalki temple. Kalki is yet to appear several thousands years later. There is already a Kalki temple, not the Kalki that is described in the Bhagavatam, but some other form of Kalki, they claim to be Kalki, that is worshipped as an incarnation. And several such people keep coming and going, they claim to be incarnations, but none of them are matched by descriptions in the Vedic literature. So we should not get cheated. Bhaktivedanta Thakur used to say, this world is a place of cheaters and the cheated. If we are getting cheated by a so-called incarnation, then we also share the blame of getting cheated. We can't just blame the person who is cheating. So Kaviraj Goswami describes the functions of an avatar. He says, Srishti hetu yei murti prapanche avatar. Sei Ishwara murti avatar naam dhare. Maya tita paravyome savara avasthan. Vishve avatari dhare avatar naam. So what is an avatar? Avatar or incarnation descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the avatar who so descends is called an incarnation. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. So avatar descending from a higher place to this material world. Someone who does this assumes the name avatar. Interestingly, when many times people ask us, why all incarnations had to appear in India alone? As if it's a big curse on India by the descent of an avatar. Instead of celebrating and appreciating the descent of an avatar, we Indians are so, foolish sometimes to question the need for an avatar to happen in India. Whenever a celebrity comes on, whenever a big Hollywood star or music star comes to India, there are millions of people following. Recently there was this musician, Justin Bieber, someone. He came, the tickets were getting sold at, the initial price was 7,000 rupees, going up to 70,000 for one or two hour show. So when such people come, we never question, why India? Out of so many countries in the world, why they have to come to Bombay? We never question that. When a big celebrity comes, when a head of a state comes here, that is considered an honor. Right? A big meeting happens of big multinational companies happen in a particular place. That, say imagine Olympic Games. If it is happening, going to happen in Bombay, just imagine how it will be such a celebration, is it not? We will be happy that India is hosting this world event. So similarly, even an incarnation, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the entire universe, is appearing, choosing a place to descend, which happens to be India or Bharatvarsha. We should be celebrating the whole event and appreciating our good fortune. And if you question why only India, why not other places in the world, that skepticism is highly unhealthy. So, Krishna describes our avatar. What is the nature of an avatar in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, Ajopisan Avyayatma. The nature of form of avatar is Avyayatma. Avyayatma means inexhaustible. Something that doesn't get exhausted. By the effect of time, by the effect of space, by geographical boundaries, by three modes of nature, nothing can cause the destruction of the form of the Lord. Avyayatma. And he says, Ajopisan, I am unborn and I am descending. Originally I have no birth, no death. But I appear to take birth through the womb of mother and father, and I appear to enact pastimes like an ordinary human being. And similarly I disappear. So even disappearance of an avatar is bewildering to many people. When Krishna disappeared, that hunter named Jara, he was sitting in one corner of the forest and Krishna was meditating, sitting in one place. Right foot was kept on his left thigh and he was appearing like meditating on someone. So this Jara hunter saw this form from a distance and he thought it's a gold, it's a deer, some animal. And he shot his arrow in order to hunt. And that arrow came and hit Krishna's foot. And to the external vision, it appeared that Krishna left his body like an ordinary death. And he left. So there, our acharyas explain how this feature is also bewildering. It is what it appeared to ordinary people, that Krishna has left his body and went back, is to confuse the atheistic class of people so that they don't take incarnation cheaply. If someone is having no faith, it is to confuse them more. Until we surrender with a devotional attitude, only to such people will the disappearance of an avatar appear amazing. Otherwise, for ordinary people who have no faith, such incidents will appear like ordinary. Ye yathamam prabadyante tam sadaiva bhajami. So how we approach Krishna, how we approach the Lord, that mood Krishna will reciprocate. If you don't want to believe in certain things, then Krishna will make it even more convincing for the ordinary people. And for those who have faith in Krishna's divine activities, that divinity will be revealed in every activity of Krishna. So even disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of Lord Ram, disappearance of any incarnation, actually divine, janma karma chame divyam Krishna, it applies to every activity of Krishna, including disappearance of the Lord. So therefore, in the 10th canto, before Krishna appeared in the early chapters, we find Bhumi Devi going to Lord Brahma and praying. So at that time, 5,000 years ago, the earth was overburdened by several thousand demonic kings. All cruel rulers, greedy rulers, and they were looting people, looting the earth, exploiting the resources, over-exploiting the resources. And Bhumi Devi felt immense pain. And she goes to Lord Brahma, explaining her situation. So to describe, Brahmaji feels this situation is beyond my control. Usually Brahmaji takes charge of maintenance of small little problems. But when the problem is too big, beyond his capacity to handle, Brahmaji chooses to go to Vishnu and pray. So it is said, Brahmaji's planet itself has one form of the Lord. Satyaloka has an already existing form of the Lord, known as Mahapurusha. So on some days of Lord Brahma, whenever an incarnation has to happen, when Brahmaji has to request Lord Vishnu, he goes to Lord Mahapurush and requests him, please descend to this universe and maintain the law and order. But on this occasion, Brahmaji goes to Shweta Dweep, which is a part of the universe where Lord Vishnu resides on the milk ocean, shores of the milk ocean. And Brahmaji goes and prays. So our acharyas explain, why did Lord Brahma go to Shweta Dweep? Why didn't he go to his own planet where the Lord is resting, Lord is residing? So they say, probably Lord Brahma didn't want to leave his association. Or probably the Lord was taking rest and he didn't want to disturb him. So Mahapurush, the activities of Mahapurush on Satyaloka is accepting the sacrificial offerings offered by the sages and taking rest. These are the pastimes of Lord Mahapurush. So Brahmaji didn't want to disturb him. Or maybe Brahmaji didn't want to lose his association whenever that incarnation happens. He wanted him to stay constantly in his place. So he goes to Lord Vishnu at Shweta Dweep and petitions, please descend as an avatar and save Mother Earth from the treacherous kings ruling the planet. So then Lord Vishnu conveys a message to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma conveys a message to all the demigods. So the message is, very soon I am going to appear as an avatar on Earth, but before I appear, I want all of you means all the demigods. I want all of you to take birth in Yadu, Vrishni and other families, Kuru families, and assist me in my activities. So in accordance with that order, all these demigods, many of the demigods, appeared in Dwarka, in Hastinapur, in several other Yadu-related families, and got ready to invite Krishna in his avatar. So when we see Krishna killing various demons in his pastimes, several people contribute. Several people put on their efforts. And most of these people are Krishna's eternal associates. Either from the demigod, either from the heavenly planets, or directly descending from the spiritual world. So who is who? We may not know all the details. Some are directly Nitya Siddha associates from the spiritual world who have descended along with the avatar. Some are descending from the heavenly planets temporarily to assist the pastimes of Krishna. Once the pastime is wound up, they go back and join their heavenly kingdom, continue their heavenly duties. So, it is described, Devaki and Vasudev, these two had already prayed for Krishna to become their son. And when Krishna appeared as their son, he didn't appear as a baby Krishna, he appeared as a 400 Vishnu form. And he said to Devaki and Vasudev, I have already been your son several times. I was the one who appeared as Prishni Garbha when you were Prishni and Sutapa. Prishni and Sutapa, Devaki and Vasudev's name. I appeared as your son. Then I appeared as Vamanadev to Kapila, to Kashyapa and Aditi. And now I am again appearing as your son. So this again confirms Krishna's statement. My appearance is not ordinary. It is Divyam. So Devaki and Vasudev became parents. And another set of parents, Yashoda and Nanda, they also appeared. And their history is again given by Shukdev Goswami. He says these two were Drona and Dhara, two Vasus from the heavenly planets. And they had also prayed intensely for Krishna to become their son. Now the interesting thing is, who is actually the parents of Krishna? Is it Devaki Vasudev or Yashoda and Nanda? So our acharyas explain, although physically Krishna was born to Devaki and Vasudev, the intensity of love of Yashoda and Nanda was much more than Devaki and Vasudev. So therefore Yashoda and Nanda should be considered real parents of Krishna. And Krishna, no one can actually become Krishna's parents. These are all eternal associates. If I want to become a parent of Krishna eternally, that's not possible. They are already fixed. Certain people are already fixed. Krishna's queens, Krishna's mother and father, Krishna's brother. These positions are not vacant. There is no vacancy in these areas. We can become Krishna's servant in any other form. So, if someone is praying and doing tapasya to become Krishna's parent, or acharya explains, that is not possible. But then the Bhagavatam describes, how did Yashoda and Nanda become parents of Krishna? They also did tapasya, and then Brahmaji comes and blesses them. Okay, it's your desire to become the father and mother of Krishna, I bless you. And then they become parents. So how do we understand this? On one hand, no one can become the parents. And here it is described, Brahmaji blessed them because of their tapasya and devotional service. And then they became parents. So our acharyas explain, this is just an incidental theme. Brahmaji's blessing is just one scene of the entire drama of Krishna's pastime. Actually, these are already fixed. And just to instruct the regular people that you can't take Krishna's appearance as cheap. If you want Krishna to appear in your life, it cannot happen cheaply. So therefore, this whole thing of Dhara and Drona doing their tapasya and then Brahmaji appearing and then blessing them to become their parents, that is just one small scene in the entire drama of Krishna's appearance. Otherwise, they are already fixed. They are all Nitya Siddha associates who have descended into this material world to assist in Krishna's fasting. So then our Acharya explain, so Nanda Yashoda's intensity of love for Krishna is much, much higher than the intensity of Devaki and Vasudeva's love. What makes it higher? What makes it more intense? It is because Devaki and Vasudeva are aware of Krishna's supreme position. Although Krishna appeared as their child, they are aware this child is God, is not just a child. So Krishna's opulence and Krishna's Aishwarya, they are aware of. That becomes an impediment to express their parental love to the fullest extent. Whereas Nanda and Yashoda are unaware of, not ignorant, they are unaware of Krishna's divinity. And this pastime is illustrated in the pastime of Krishna eating dirt. So one day Krishna and Balaram and all the coward boyfriends are playing, and the Balaram and coward boyfriend started complaining. They came to Yashoda and complained, "This Krishna, your son, is eating dirt." And Krishna denied the charge. He said, "I defeated them in the game, therefore they are complaining. Not that I actually ate dirt. These people want to take revenge, therefore they are complaining. If you feel I have eaten dirt, you can check my mouth." So Yashoda said, "Okay, let me check." She took him on her lap and held his chin and opened the mouth to check if there is actually dirt. Now in this case, in this situation, Krishna wanted to enjoy Yashoda's intense love of Vatsalya. So Yashoda taking Krishna on her lap and holding him, that is an exchange of parental love. Krishna wants to taste that love and he is eager, he is hungry for that love. So if he had, he could have said, "I am God, I can do anything." He didn't talk about that philosophy. So when Yashoda demanded, "Show me your mouth," Krishna humbly submitted to her request. So when Yashoda opened his mouth, what happened? Krishna immediately showed the universal form, which later he showed to Arjuna also. The entire Brahmand, the universal form, was appearing within Krishna's small little mouth. And within that universe, on one corner she saw the earth, and within that corner she saw Vrindavan, where again she saw herself and Krishna, herself looking into Krishna's mouth. So at this time, it is said, Yashoda became a philosopher. She started thinking, "Oh, this whole thing is so maya, and the entire material world is maya, and I am under the illusion that I am the controller, I am the queen of Vrindavan, and I have so many wealth and riches, I have so many cows, I am the controller." This kind of thoughts she started getting. And because I am in such illusion, I am now considering Nanda is my husband, Krishna is my child. A kind of vairagya started developing in her heart. A renunciation. So when Krishna noticed this, if Mother Yashoda is going to become a vairagi, then who will feed me milk? Who will feed me sweets and who will feed me food? If she becomes a philosopher, then I won't be able to relish that vatsalyaras from Yashoda. So therefore he again expanded his yogamaya potency upon Yashoda. As soon as the influence of yogamaya set in upon Yashoda, then again Yashoda forgot everything. Suddenly she forgot everything and she started again considering, "Oh, Krishna is just an ordinary child. I have to feed him, I have to give him milk, and I have to take care of him, I have to dress him, clothe him." The whole mood suddenly changed, and again the Vatsalya Bhava set in. So our Acharya explain, this is the difference between the two sets of parents. In the case of Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna didn't do that. But Yashoda's intense love was so high that Krishna applied his yogamaya potency and made her forget the whole thing. And Yashoda and Krishna could share that intense loving exchange. So therefore, in continuation with this, pastime is what happened with Damodar Leela. This Kartik month we are celebrating Deep Dan and Damodar festival. So in Damodar pastime also, this same Vatsalya Bhav is again brought out. So after this Mrida Bhakshan, after Krishna ate the dirt, after this event, when Shukdev Goswami is describing this pastime, he finished narrating this pastime, he wants to highlight the great fortunate position of Yashoda. And he recites a nice verse. He says, Traya Chopanishad Bhishcha Sankhya Yogaischa Sattvatai Upagiya Manamahatmyam Harim Samanyatatmacham. This is a very important verse. Shukdev Goswami says, Traya Chopanishad Bhishcha. By studying the three Vedas, by studying Sankhya Yoga, and by studying all the Vaishnava literature, people who seek out the Supreme Lord, by doing all these things, that Supreme Lord Yashoda is considering to be her ordinary child. Harim Samanyata Atmajam. Atmajam means own son. So, we don't know how much people undergo a struggle in order to understand who God is. In Kali Yuga, such species of people may be rare, but in earlier ages, people used to perform severe tapasya, intense study, in order to understand who God is. That eagerness was quite visible. So after putting so much effort, when finally one understands who God is, Yashoda is considering the same God to be her ordinary son. So our acharya explained, when Shukdev Goswami finished narrating this earlier pastime of Krishna eating dirt, he couldn't contain his excitement. So he rose up on his seat, leaned forward, came forward, and recited this verse. Just to emphasize the supreme position of Yashoda. How fortunate she is to have Krishna as her own darling child. So our acharya explained, this verse is the Paribhasha Sutra for the entire 10th canto. This is an interesting concept. What is a Paribhasha Sutra? Paribhasha Sutra is a one key verse for a book that regulates the entire flow of contents for that book. So here's a definition of what a Paribhasha Sutra is. Paribhasha Sutra is an unequivocal statement that establishes the theme of a text in which there may be apparently unrelated or even contradictory statements. So if an author writes a book and he wants to establish a theme, he will make a statement and that becomes the guiding light for the entire book. Every statement should be seen in the light of this verse. And if at all we find other statements in the same book that appears to be unrelated, then we have to somehow find the connection. Why this verse or statement is made in connection to the main verse known as the Paribhasha Sutra. And if at all we find a statement that is contradicting the Paribhasha Sutra, then we have to reinterpret the statement so that the meaning is in line with the original statement. Another definition is, a Paribhasha Sutra explains the proper method for understanding a book. It gives the key by which one can understand the true purport of a series of apparently unrelated facts and arguments. Thus, if the direct meaning of a statement seems to contradict the Paribhasha Sutra, then such a statement should be interpreted in such a way that it conforms to the governing theme of the original verse. This is Jiva Goswami's explanation. He in his Shat Sandarbha, he has thoroughly analyzed the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is a Paribhasha Sutra. So Shukdev Goswami says this verse, how Yashoda considered Krishna to be her son, is the main verse for the entire 10th canto of Krishna Leela. Similarly, for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a Paribhasha Sutra, which appears in the first canto. This is the verse recited by Suta Goswami. After the list of incarnations at Krishna, after the list of Krishna's incarnations, he makes a statement. He says, Ete Chamshakala Pumsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So Jiva Goswami explains, our Acharya explains, this verse is the Paribhasha Sutra for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which is containing 18,000 verses. And any verse, anywhere in the book, should be seen in this connection. Somewhere we may find someone being glorified as God. Not just for Srimad Bhagavatam, for the entire Puranic literature, this verse happens to be the main verse. So if in some other Upanishad we find some other demigod being glorified as the Supreme Lord, then we should reinterpret. Either it is contextual or it has to be reinterpreted to suit the meaning of this verse. We should not get bewildered. Are, yahan pe this Krishna is being told as the Supreme Lord and there Indra is. Who is actually God? Maybe both are gods and they are fighting for position, supreme position. Or sometimes he becomes God, sometimes that Krishna becomes God. There is a rotational, like term ends after every 5 years, 10 years. Is it like that? No. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam is an eternal principle for all time, all ages, all over the universe. And that is the guiding message that Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to give in every section of every pastime. So in this section, this verse happens to be the main verse. So what is this verse highlighting? This verse is highlighting how, in order to conquer Krishna, one needs to have pure, unmotivated, spontaneous devotion. Only such a devotee is qualified to enter into the spiritual world, especially Vrindavan part of the spiritual world, and serve Krishna in that mood. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains these two different kinds of devotional moods. So there is, what we are practicing now is sadhana bhakti, practicing devotional service. Sadhana bhakti is divided into vaidhi bhakti, which means you follow rules and regulations because it has been told, because scriptures tell us, if you don't follow the rules and regulations, then there will be sinful reactions, there will be hellish planets, all those fear element is introduced. So that is vaidhi. Either the spiritual master tells us, vidhi vidhan, the spiritual master tells us to do, or scripture is telling us to do. And if you don't follow those rules, then the fear element is there. So that is vaidhi bhakti. Most of us practice devotion service out of that kind of fear, which is a healthy fear, not that we are obsessed by fear. And a little advancement in vaidhi bhakti will lead us to raganuga bhakti. Raganuga bhakti means one practices devotion service not out of fear or out of obedience to someone, but because we enjoy or relish doing that activity. We relish chanting Hare Krishna, we relish worshipping the deity, we relish visiting the dham. We are not going to a place or doing a worship because if we don't do, we are afraid of getting a reaction. So that is called raganuga. So our acharya explain, raganuga bhakti is what we should hanker for. Spontaneous. It is not motivated by fear. Automatically we want to do. Raga anuga. Rag is there, or natural attachment is there towards that activity. So raganuga bhakti is spontaneous devotional service in practice. It is practice. The perfected stage of raganuga bhakti is called ragatmika. Devotional service in perfection. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains how a Raganuga Bhakta's aspiration should be to reach the stage of Ragatmika. So who is a Ragatmika Bhakti? Bhakta? Yashoda is one example. All the residents of spiritual world are examples of Ragatmika Bhaktas. They have natural, spontaneous, intense attachment towards Krishna. And their devotional service is perfect. Without any mistakes. And Krishna relishes such service from these devotees. So a Raganuga Bhakta has a role model as Ragatmika Bhakta. Ragatmika Bhakta is a role model for a Raganuga Bhakta. And we have to follow in their footsteps. And once we perfect that process, we become a Ragatmika Bhakta. And then we are qualified to render direct devotion service to Krishna. So theoretically it all sounds good, easy. But the whole process, going through Vaidhi Bhakti and going through Anartha Nivritti and Shraddha, development of Shraddha, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, all those stages, it is not easy. Even the stage of Raganuga is a highly exalted stage for most practitioners. Having natural attachment, spontaneous attachment to our daily devotional activities. So Yashoda is the example, according to Shukadeva Goswami, the best example for a Ragatmika Bhakta who has spontaneous intense attachment towards Krishna. Therefore this verse is considered as the main verse for the guiding light for the entire 10th canto pastimes. We may have thought ki, some Madhurya Leela pastime, Radha Rani and Gopis could have been a better example, but Shukadeva Goswami quotes Yashoda as the ideal example for such a Vraja Bhakti personification. So therefore, this is the gift that we have received from our parampara, from Lord Chaitanya and all the acharyas. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, simply by rendering this basic ninefold devotional activities on a daily basis, sincerely, seriously, without any ulterior moods. If we can stick to this process regularly, consistently, one day that love, that attachment, that spontaneous loving moods will develop in our heart and we can render pure devotional service. Shivaram Maharaj writes in his book, one challenge that ISKCON is facing is to make non-devotees into pure devotees. Non-devotees means people who have either no faith in Krishna or people who have mixed faith in Krishna. Mixed faith means people who have faith in Krishna also and they have faith in other processes also. So to convert mixed faith into pure faith in Krishna is one challenge that ISKCON is facing. So to make non-devotees into pure devotees, the first thing. And to make pure devotees into perfect devotees. That is the second challenge. So pure devotee means not necessarily a perfect devotee. Pure devotee means someone who has got pure faith. Pure faith that worshipping Krishna will give me all perfection. If we have got that faith, in spite of all the anarthas, we are considered pure devotees. And the only thing that is left out is making that pure faith into perfect faith. Making that pure devotion into perfect devotion. So, we all have to graduate. If we don't have pure faith, we should acquire that pure faith in the association of devotees. And once we acquire that pure faith, we should cultivate it and make our devotion into perfect. Our goal is to become perfectly pure devotees. That's the gift that we have inherited from our parampara. So let us continue our sadhana strictly, seriously, diligently, and one day we can acquire that perfection. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. If anyone has any comment or question, we can take one or two. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.